DW Africa Link.
Today we focus on Malawi, where calls for electoral reforms are growing louder, with past elections marred by controversy. Many are now urging the Malawi Electoral Commission, the independent body responsible for overseeing all electoral processes in the country, to embrace innovative digital approaches. Advocates argue that digital solutions could cut costs, curb vote fraud, and restore public trust in the electoral process. But is Malawi ready for such a shift? What are the challenges and opportunities? That's what's coming up. My name is Mimi Mefuneu. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Malawi's electoral history has faced significant challenges, particularly during the 2019 general elections. These elections were marred by widespread irregularities, notably the unauthorized use of correction fluid, commonly referred to by the brand name Tipex, to alter vote tallies. Such tampering led to the Constitutional Court's landmark decision on February 3, 2020, to annul the election results and mandate a fresh presidential poll. The subsequent election, held in June 2020, resulted in the victory of President Lazarus Chakwera, who led a Tons Alliance, a coalition of 9 political parties. This alliance was instrumental in unseating the incumbent Peter Mutharika and signified a pivotal moment in Malawi's democratic journey. In the aftermath, there has been a growing call for Malawians in the diaspora, human rights advocates, and civic voter analysts for the Electoral Commission to consider implementing online and mobile voting systems. There are now pressing questions about the readiness of Malawi's technological infrastructure, cybersecurity concerns, and the potential impact on voter turnout and trust in the electoral process. Joining me to dissect this topic is DW's George Mwango from Malawi and renowned governance and human rights activist Ondule Nwaka Sungula. So I'm going to begin with you, Mr. Ondule Nwaka Sungula. I just wanted to find out what the role of the civil society organization is ahead of the election in September in your country.
Yeah, thank you very much for allowing me this program. Let me say that the civil society organizations in Malawi are playing a very key role in ensuring that the upcoming elections, general elections, are free, fair, and credible. And their work is centered on voter education and awareness, civil society campaigning, actively engaging communities in voter education campaigns, ensuring that citizens understand their voting rights, but also the whole electoral process, but also the importance of participation in the elections, but also they are preparing for themselves for election monitoring and oversight. They are preparing to deploy monitors in the polling stations and centers to observe and report on the irregularities of ensuring that there's transparency and credibility of the elections, but also engaging with wider stakeholders, civil society acting as a bridge in facilitating dialogue on critical electoral issues, including the call for independent ICT audit, which has been a very key issue for the stakeholders in elections in Malawi. But I think the very key problem and challenge civil society are facing maybe in their involvement is they are limited in their involvement due to lack of support in terms of resources, in terms of funding.
So is this preparation you're talking about, are these preparations unprecedented, or is this something that has happened before? And is this something that the civil society organization or the civil society in Malawi is worried about ahead of the election?
I think these are the involvement of civil society have been involved in Malawi from all the elections taking place in this country. But I think there are issues which need to be addressed, especially into issues of enhancing transparency, engagement, dialogue, but also issues of violence. We've seen so much political violence now before the elections. So there are issues which I think the civil society are also much concerned. I talked about the independent ICD audit, which I think has been a very key issue from political parties who are very key stakeholders in the electoral process. So these are some of the issues which the civil society are much concerned, but I think key also is the participation of the electorate, the voters themselves, Malawians, because they can register, but they can also be demotivated not to vote on the actual voting day. So this is the challenge of the civil society in making sure that the Malawians continue to be motivated to vote for elections in September so that they can choose leaders whom they want to lead them in the coming 5 years.
George Mwangu, you are a correspondent in Malawi. We have just 5 months to the elections in the country. How prepared is the Malawi Electoral Commission to hold a free and fair election?
Yeah, one of the key issues that is currently happening is that the Malawi Electoral Commission has almost completed all the basic things that are supposed to happen. The registration aspect was conducted. There was also a supplementary kind of an event where others that were or felt to be deprived of the voting right were also accepted into the voting system. And there was also the voters' roll, which ensured that the other people, more especially the transfer aspect, that those people that wanted to vote in a different area, unlike the area that they did register, that also happened. And government through parliament also approved 162 billion Malawi kwacha for the commission to conduct these polls. So the issue, more especially currently, is an issue of funding to these civil society organizations. They are complaining of lacking funds, you know, with the donor fatigue and a couple of challenges, so they are not able to go flat out in different areas to start maybe sensitization campaigns. So that's a major challenge. But otherwise, the Malawi Electoral Commission is well prepared. And also the president has also mentioned a couple of times in his addresses and various meetings that he has held across the country that people need to take this seriously because it's their voting right. You know, people in Malawi do vote, say, at the age of 18. They're supposed to vote. Once you register, you get prepared for the voting. So all those kind of things, you put them together, yes. But one key issue is what Undule Makasungula has highlighted, is the lack of resources in terms of financing to these civil society organizations just because of the donor fatigue. You understand what maybe the United States of America has done. Of course, we should be able to say the European Union has also contributed some money towards this year's elections. And these are elections which are very, very important because in Malawian terms, we say democracy in Malawi, the multi-party democracy came into fruition. That was in 1994. So this is 2025. Counting the years, it's going to be a deciding year as to whether indeed Malawi is embracing the much needed democracy that people voted for in 1993 through the referendum itself. But otherwise, everything is well said.
So, Mr. Undule, when the election take place in the country, we already know when the next election will take place, right? So the country should be ready financially and otherwise to hold another election peacefully and without any financial constraints. My colleague Mwango is just talking about and stressing on the fact that one of the major challenges that you have, and you said it already, is financial difficulties. Do you think that this problem is on purpose to some sort of hamper the activities of civil society in ensuring a hitch-free election in Malawi?
The issue of funding is more aligned to the challenge of the civil society. But I think in terms of government giving support to the Malawi Electoral Commission, which is a constitutional body, a legally mandated body to conduct elections, government has put a lot of money there right now. We had the budget session, which I think they approved billions of Malawi kwacha to support the electoral process. So in terms of Malawi Electoral Commission, they are well funded to manage and manage the electoral process. But I think the issue is coming on from the civil society point of view in terms of their involvement. So I think the issue is more on the civil society funding, not government supporting the electoral process. And government is committed by putting a lot of money into electoral supporting the Malawi Electoral Commission. It shows their commitment to make sure that the elections are free, fair, and credible. But the challenge comes into the support of civil society because civil society are more donor funded. That has been a challenge for civil society to participate actively in this electoral process.
Yes, sir. So who is supposed to support the civil society at this point? Who is responsible?
The responsibility, of course, as I said, the civil society has more survived on extent of funding, not government funding. Because in Malawi, civil society do not get support from government directly. They might get support from government indirectly through maybe third or fourth parties who maybe they would want to implement the projects which are more related to complementing on government efforts. But the civil society here have survived based on external donor funding, international community. Now, the international community have reduced their support to supporting a democracy, good governance, and human rights issues in Malawi. That's where the challenge comes in, that civil society are struggling to get resources to fully participate in the electoral process.
Mwango, I wanted to ask you, there are also calls for an online and mobile system, particularly from the diaspora, and mobile system of voting. Has Malawi put the necessary infrastructure in place to ensure that it's a success?
So currently, I've been speaking to the Malawi Electoral Commission on this project. For them, 2025 polls, we just go as it has been. People have to physically go and vote in different polling stations. In terms of the infrastructure itself, there is an a company known as Bengonet, which has championed the issue of trying to put the fiber cables countrywide. And this has been evidenced through the project that is called Digital Malawi. This Digital Malawi program is a project where government institutions, that's secondary schools, primary schools, hospitals, or markets have been connected to the internet free. So people access the internet or can talk or can discuss or can make business, can transact any issue freely on the internet because of this Digital Malawi project, which is being championed by Bengonet and then the Public Partnership Program. So that is in the pipeline. Why people are talking about those in diaspora? Because those people in diaspora contribute a lot to the economy of the country. And a number of activists, even IT experts, have questioned as why should people who live abroad and they contribute a lot to the country's economy be left out in terms of voting? And even those people that might not be well on that particular day of voting, they should be able to vote online. Even persons with disabilities that cannot avail themselves to the polling stations should be able to vote online. So that's mainly what is happening. But infrastructure-wise, the company Bengonet is doing itself. And of course, human rights defenders, campaigners have also commented on the same to say it's good. But, you know, gadgets have to be made available at affordable prices once this comes into fruition.
Okay, so Mr. Onduli, I want to stick to the aspect of diasporans adding some pressure to introduce online and mobile voting system in Malawi. Is that something that is likely to happen?
To me, I think at this stage, online voting and mobile voting, I say, in Malawi is highly unlikely due to several factors. George has already talked about infrastructure. There's lack of infrastructure in Malawi. We do not have the advanced digital infrastructure needed to support secure or online mobile. Internet remains a challenge. Low and many rural areas really still lack basic connections. But also there's the issue of legal and policy framework. Malawi currently electoral law does not provide for online mobile voting. And changing this will require the amendment of the law and through a consultation of wider stakeholders of Malawi, which cannot be achieved before these September elections. But also there are challenges, threats of cyber security risks, but also key also the public trust issues. Given the last elections, you know, there was a lot of controversies. So introducing a new digital voting system without adequate preparations would likely raise a number of suspicions and further erode the confidence in the process. So as George has mentioned, I think this we can continue exploring it for the coming elections.
Yes, so you've just touched on an aspect that is leaving Malawians worried as well. There are growing concerns over the integrity of Malawi's electoral system with opposition parties and civil society groups or persons like yourself questioning the transparency of the Electoral Commission's voter registration process. Is that something that worries you as well?
To me, I don't think it gives me much worry because I have confidence in the electoral process. But also the Malawi Electoral Commission as a constitutional mandated body to manage elections. Yes, there are concerns from key stakeholders, political parties, civil society, but I think the Malawi Electoral Commission has been addressing these issues. There have been several platforms the Electoral Commission has facilitated in terms of engaging stakeholders to address the issues, which the issues of concerns. One being the missing of some of the names, because there have been allegations that some names are missing the voter registration law. So these are the issues which the Malawi Electoral Commission are addressing. And as George has mentioned, I think there are preparations, and I think prepared to manage and conduct the elections in free, fair, and credible manner. So what is very key is that openness, so that there's more transparency and to give, I think, ownership to the electoral process for all Malawians to own the process of the elections.
Yes, Mwangu, we just heard from Mr. Ondule that he's not worried about the integrity of Malawi's electoral processes, but there are calls for independent audit that are intensifying following accusations that the Malawi Electoral Commission and the National Registration Bureau are colluding to manipulate elections in favor of President Lazarus Chakwera. Can you explain more to an outsider about these calls for a thorough audit?
Yeah, in terms of the thorough audit that is being talked about by a number of organizations, say political parties in opposition, it's just emanating from the aspect that one of the commissioner's name missed in the voter's roll itself. So that is where a number of questions are coming in to say, if the commissioner, one of the commissioners from the Malawi Electoral Commission, his name is missing, what does it mean? What does it signal? So, of course, discussions are currently going on and they've been there, but otherwise, as the commission, which is mandated, the constitutionally mandated body to look or handle elections, they are very prepared. At this point in time, I think it's not more into the public domain because in July, Parliament will be dissolved. So once Parliament is dissolved, maybe somewhere around 22 July or 23 July, it means legally things will have to proceed. We're looking at the campaign period itself also because it's a 2 months campaign period mandated in the country's constitution. So this talk of the audit, currently, I think it's not diving at the moment. It's emanating from the aspect that one of the commissioner's name missed in the voter's roll. It was nowhere to be traced, which makes sense they are working on it.
Mr. Ondule, we will not conclude this interesting discussion without talking about women's participation in the electoral process in Malawi. How vibrant or involved are women in Malawi's politics and the election?
Let me say that women participation in Malawi's politics remains a work in progress. Despite efforts to promote gender equality, the number of women in elected positions remain very low. For instance, in 2019 elections, only 44 women were elected to parliament out of 193 seats. That is about 23%. But also the other challenge, like the cultural barriers, traditional gender norms often discourage women from active political participation. Many female candidates faced intimidation, discrimination, but also financial constraints. But much as we have talked about the challenges, but it's also important to note that there are efforts to promote women in politics. Several organizations are running mentorship and empowerment programs to encourage more women to participate in politics or key positions. And political parties also are being urged in these elections to frontline more women to contest in various positions. But also the appointment of women in key government positions by the president himself, like the Speaker of Parliament, is a female Speaker of Parliament, but also the Minister of Foreign Affairs and other key ministries, shows a commitment of government to promote women to take leadership positions. So despite these efforts, more still need to be done to ensure a level playing field for women in participation of politics in this country.
Okay, would you trust the current government to do all of this? I mean, I'm talking about in terms of continuity, or you think that it's time for Malawi to have some change?
I'm someone who don't admire or advocate for change or the time. You know, challenges are there, but the issue is how do we address the changes? Well, the changes are not going to be addressed by changing leadership. I think the changes are going to be addressed by addressing the challenges which you are facing and not changing all the time leadership, because that also brings another challenge of lack of continuity. Because if this government goes, another government comes in, definitely there will be a very big vacuum in terms of continuity of some of the good things which this current government has embarked on. So the issue is not about change, and I don't support that change. It doesn't mean that I'm taking sides in terms of supporting this system of government, but I think the issue to me, I've concluded, is not about the leadership. I think the issue of this country, Malawi, is about the system, the structures which are holding the country not to move forward. That every good leader who comes in with good ideas fail to implement the ideas because of the structure, the system, which keep on holding the country not moving forward. So, yes, people can demand change, but it's important to reflect very in a sober manner to see, is this change you are advocating going to bring us the results we would want, the things we would want, the development we need? So we leave that to the voters this coming September. I cannot say yes or no, but as I indicated, I'm someone really would want to see continuity of the developments which have been embarked right now.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Kenya's 2017 presidential election was one of the most contested in African history. President Uhuru Kenyatta was declared the winner against opposition leader Raila Odinga, but the results were swiftly challenged in court. In a historic ruling, Kenya's Supreme Court annulled the election results in September that very year, citing irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of votes by the Independent Electoral and Boundary Commission. This marked the first time in Africa that the judiciary nullified a presidential election. The annulment of the election was seen as a victory for judicial independence in Africa, setting a precedent for other nations such as Malawi, whose 2019 election was similarly overturned. However, the Kenyan case also highlighted the challenges of ensuring free and fair elections, with lingering issues around election management, technology, and trust in electoral institutions. That's it for this edition of the Africa Link podcast. Remember, you are not just a listener, but part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow so that you can catch all the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Mimi Mefoneu, and thank you for listening. Until next time, bye for now.
DW News.
Here are today's top news stories and why they matter. The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, and the M23 rebels are planning to hold direct talks on April 9. The talks to take place in Doha could be a potential boost to Carter's efforts to end the ongoing conflict in Congo. How significant is this? The Doha meeting will be the first direct talks between the two sides since M23 fighters captured Eastern Congo's two largest cities in an offensive that has left thousands dead and hundreds of thousands displaced. A March 18 planned direct peace talks between the two sides in Angola failed when M23 pulled out at the last minute due to EU sanctions on some of its leaders and Rwandan officials. DRC President Felix Tshisekedi and his counterpart in Rwanda, Paul Kagame, held talks in Doha on March 18. The second round of talks between the two countries has also taken place, while Qatar has also separately met with M23 representatives. And in South Africa, the government of National Unity, GNU, is once again facing a testing moment over national budget talks. For at least 2 months now, lawmakers haven't been able to agree and pass a budget. And finally, the Chagos Islands considered as the UK's last African territory is being handed back to Mauritius. The UK and Mauritius governments are finalizing the agreement to make this possible after US President Donald Trump gave the green light for the deal. How significant is this? The dispute over the islands has lasted for years. The Chagos Archipelago, a group of at least 60 islands that sits on seven ring-shaped islands called atolls, was part of France's possessions while it colonized Mauritius. After the UK took control of the colony in 1965, it split the island from Mauritius, sparking a long-standing dispute. Plans to hand over control of the territory to Mauritius started in October last year. There was an appeal by the United Nations and the International Criminal Court for Britain to return the territory to Mauritius following the change in government in Mauritius last year and the need to secure Donald Trump's agreement, plans were put on hold. What does this handover mean? The deal between the two countries will now mean that Mauritius will gain sovereignty over the islands from the UK, but allow the US and UK to continue operating a military base on one of the islands for an initial period of 99 years. And that's all for today. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our channel, DW Africa. I am Ajua Domina.
for Minds.